Now we're turning to James chapter 1 and reading at verse 13 this morning. We've been making our way slowly through this little epistle on Lord's Day mornings, and we've titled this series of studies, Practical Christianity. And I want to talk to you this morning on the faithfulness of God, or if you like, the greatest of all givers. And we're reading from James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. And every one of us has been there. Temptation is when you're asked to do it. Sin is when you do it. And each one of us, as Christian believers, at different stages of our life, have succumbed to temptation. James says, do not err, or do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, we still our hearts before Thee afresh this morning, and we thank Thee for the good word of God. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy great faithfulness toward us. Lord, we thank Thee this morning, in spite of our unfaithfulness at times, Thou dost remain faithful. And our Father, we thank Thee afresh for this little epistle in which we have gleaned many lessons in past Lord's Day mornings. And we would ask, O Lord, that as we come again to the good word of God, that the Lord of the Word would speak to our hearts this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God might take the truth of God and apply it to all of our hearts. And our Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word to our hearts this morning. And our Father, that we might leave encouraged and strengthened in the things of God. Our Father, bless those who listen. Remember us as we handle Thy Word just now. Use us for Thy glory, for Christ's sake. Amen. The story is told of an ancient kingdom whose sovereign had just died and whose ambassadors were sent to choose a successor. They had to make a choice between two little babies, actually two twin infants. And when they looked at the two little boys, they found the little babies fast asleep. And looking at them very carefully, they agreed that it was very difficult to choose between them. And then as they continued looking at these little babies fast asleep, they noticed a curious difference between them. They noticed that one of the little baby boys was lying, and he was lying with his fists closed tight. And then they looked at the other one, and they noticed that the other little baby boy was lying sleeping, but his fist was wide open. His hands were wide open. Instantly, they made their selection of the latter. And sure enough, the story concludes with the record that as that little baby grew up into a man and became a king and continued in his high station, he became known as the king with the open hand. My dear friends, this is no story this morning. This is glorious truth that our God is not a closed-fisted deity. He's the God with the open hand. For our God is the greatest of all givers. I heard the story of a well-known preacher in the United States of America who made an appeal to his congregation for money in order to put up a new church building. And he invited one Sunday, he invited all the people to come themselves right to the front of the building and to bring their gifts. Immediately the front of the building was filled with the people of God and the gifts they brought. A little crippled girl, she hobbled to the front and pulling a ring from her finger, she let it down at the front. And then adjusting her crutches, she turned around and she began to walk back again to her seat. After the service was over, one of the ushers in the pew sought out this little girl and brought her to the back of the building to the pastor's study. The pastor said to her, "Dear girl, I saw the gesture that you made tonight. I saw exactly what you did, and it was a wonderful gesture. However, the response of the people, the response of the congregation was so great that we have received enough money this evening to go ahead and build our church building, and we want to give the ring back to you." The little girl looked stern-faced for a moment, and she said to the pastor, she says, "I want you to know that I didn't give that ring to you. I gave it to God." My dear friends, we all like to think of ourselves this morning as generous givers. But our God is the greatest of all givers. The best-known verse in the Bible reminds us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Paul poses the question, "How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" And here in verse 17 of this first chapter, James reminds us of the faithfulness of our God. Now, if we are to appreciate the full force of what James is bringing before us here, we must begin by seeing exactly how he matches and balances what he has pressed home already. You see, verse 17 resumes the topic of verse 13. Look at verse 13. James says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And then he comes down to verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In verse 13, he has pointed out that God is not the source of evil. In verse 17, he points out that God is the source of all good. Having denied the fact that God can do us any harm, James now tells us that God can only do us good. Now, I want you to remember this morning what one of the devil's tricks is. Sometimes the devil tries to convince us as the people of God that our Father is holding out on us, that He doesn't really love us, that He doesn't really care for us. You remember that when Satan approached Eve in the Garden of Eden, he suggested if God really loved her, He would permit her to eat of the forbidden fruit. When the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil after 40 days and 40 nights, you remember that Satan implied, "If your Father loves you, why are you hungry?" You see, what James is trying to get across to us here this morning is this, that the very goodness of God is a tremendous barrier against yielding to temptation. You remember that it was this very thing that helped Joseph from sinning when he was tempted by his master's wife. You remember that Joseph said, "There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee, but because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph knew that all the blessings that he had experienced, even in his master's household, came from God. It was the goodness of God through the hands of his employer that restrained him in the hour of temptation. Now that's the theme of verse 17. Look at it. Here James is talking about the greatest of all givers. He's talking about the faithfulness of God. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." What I want you to see this morning is God's faithfulness. Or, if you like, I want you to see the kind of God we have. I want you to notice here, first of all, the need that God meets. The need that God meets. Our God is a giving God. And then I want you to see, secondly, the name that God bears. James refers to Him as the Father of Light. Our God is a revealing God. And then I want you to see the nature that God possesses. For James says, with God is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want you to see your God this morning as a giving God, a revealing God, and an unchanging God. God meets our needs through His gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down. That is to say, everything that is good comes from God.
And nothing but what is good comes from God. We have a giving God. As the songwriter put it, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Now, there's a variety in these gifts. There are two different Greek words that are used in verse 17 here, and they have to do with the gift and the giving. When James says every good gift, he's referring to the act of giving. But when he says every perfect gift, he's referring to the gift itself. In other words, James is saying both the act and the gift are good. Now, of course, you know this morning that the value of a gift can be greatly diminished by the way in which it is given. I mean, have you husbands ever tossed a gift to your wife under a sense of obligation? Have you ever said what I have said many a time? Here, it's our anniversary, and you'd be expecting something. You ever done that? Of course you have. But you see, when God gives, He gives differently. He gives in a loving way, in a gracious manner. What God gives and how God gives are both good. Now, there are scholars here who take the first Greek word to mean that James is referring to material blessings, and the second Greek word to refer to the fact that he's referring to spiritual benefits. Whether we take that or not, there is a variety in these gifts. I often ponder Paul's question. What hast thou? That's how it's not received. I often think about that. My friend, there's nothing that I have this morning. Whatever God has given me materially, whatever God has given me spiritually, whatever God has given me in terms of gifts, it comes from the hand of God. Do you ever think of your material benefits? Do you ever think of the daily provisions of life? Do you ever think, my dear friends, of your spiritual blessings? God has given to us His Word this morning, and this book is the production and the preservation of the very Word of God. It's such a miracle, the production of this book and the preservation of this book, that it's a miracle that only can be traced to the hand of God. And God has given to us His Son this morning, and what an unspeakable gift. And God has given to us His Holy Spirit who indwells us, and we begin to see the variety of the gifts that God bestows upon us. There is a variety in these gifts. And then, my dear friends, there's a constancy about these gifts. Look at what James says. He says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's in the present continuous tense. It simply means this, that God is continuing, God constantly and frequently and daily showers His gifts upon us. There's never a moment when God is not given. On the 22nd, 27th of March, 1808, the grand performance of the creation took place in the city of Vienna. And the composer, Franz Joseph Haydn, 76 years of age, was able to be in attendance. He was so weak that he had to be wheeled into the great hall in a wheelchair. And as the chorus and the orchestra burst with full power into the passage, and there was life thinking about the creation of God, the crowd burst into applause. Indeed, they all stood to their feet. And they looked towards the old composer. And he started to try and get up from his wheelchair. Eventually, with some effort, he managed to stand up. And he replied to the audience. He cried out as loudly as he could, "No! No, not from me." And pointing his finger to heaven, he said, From whence comes everything. Now here's the first thing that James says to us this morning. He says, our God is a giving God. Our God is a giving God. There are the needs that God meets. There is the variety in these gifts. There's the constancy of these gifts. There is the propriety about these gifts. Now let me pause. Our God is a giving God. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that should motivate us. That should motivate us in three different areas. It should motivate us in our adoration of God. Surely His giving ought to make us love Him more. The more He gives, the more we should love and adore and worship. His giving ought to motivate us
in our adoration of Him. His giving ought to motivate us in our appreciation of Him. I wonder this morning, does the goodness of God not make you thankful? One of God's faithful missionaries, Alan Gardner, experienced many difficulties and hardships throughout his service for the Savior. And despite his hardship and difficulty and trouble, he said this, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." In the year 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving the Lord on a little place called Picton Island on the southern tip of South America. And when his body was found, his diary was lying nearby. It bore the language of thirst, the record of thirst and hunger and wounds and loneliness. And the last entry in his diary showed the struggle of a shaking hand as he tried to write legibly. But here were his last words. A man who died serving God of hunger, of thirst, of nakedness, of loneliness. Here were his last words in his diary. He says, "I'm overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." Are you? My friend, when you sit at this table, are you overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness and the grace of God? I tell you this, if we were more overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness and grace of God, you couldn't keep the brethren down because they would be up giving thanks. Our God is a giving God. And that should motivate us in our adoration of Him, in our appreciation of Him, and that should motivate us in our consecration to Him. Should His gifts and His giving not motivate us to follow Him closer? C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." The need that God meets. Our God is a giving God. But look at this verse again. Look at the name that God bears. You see, our God is a revealing God. You ever think about this name that James uses here? He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." I remember when I was in South Africa in 1983 for a couple of months preaching. The first night I arrived, my host took me to one of the points in Cape Town, right above the city. They just wanted to show me the panoramic view of the lights of Cape Town. In fact, I took that many slides that it became a joke in our home, Cape Town by night, Cape Town by night. Just slides, a host of them. And as I looked out upon that tremendous sight, I was reminded by my host that it all came from one basic source. And that's what James is saying here. He says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Do you ever think about some of the lights of which God is the source, God is the Father, God is the author? I mean, there's the light of creation. God's first recorded word in the Bible is, "Let there be light." Then God said, "Let there be lights." And the Bible says that God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. It was God who created those great luminaries, those heavenly bodies. God is the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars. The psalmist puts it like this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." God is the source of the light of creation. My dear friends, God is the source of the light of illumination. You remember Daniel chapter 2, the story of Nebuchadnezzar's troubled dreams? None of the wise men in Babylon could interpret the king's dream, and he was troubled. And you remember the sentence went out that all the wise men in Babylon were going to be slain, they were going to be executed. And Daniel asked for time, and he made known the thing to his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and in answer to their prayers, God revealed the secret of the king's dream to Daniel. It says, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. It is God who reveals spiritual things. You remember when Philip drew up in the chariot to the Ethiopian eunuch? The eunuch was reading from the most famous of all Bible prophecies. He was reading from Isaiah 53. It seems that he wasn't getting on very well, because when Philip asked him what he was reading, he said this, How can I understand this except some man should guide me? My friends, he needed the Spirit-filled Philip to explain the Word of God to him. And without that help, he found the Scriptures dark and meaningless. My friends, unless the Spirit of God makes the Gospel clear to an unsaved person, let me say that all the preaching and all the programs and all the preparation that might be brought to bear on that person will not result in his conversion. It must be the work of the Holy Spirit. It must be the Spirit of God breaking in with light into that person's mind and showing him the truth of God's Word in relation to himself and in relation to Christ. My friends, is it any different for us? Do we as Christian believers not need to be dependent upon the Spirit of God to reveal the truth of God from the Word of God? You see, every time we come to the Bible, whether we've been saved for 40 years or for 4 months, every time we come to the Bible, we must come in an attitude, how can I understand unless someone should guide me and unless that person be the Holy Spirit? He's the Father of light. He's the source of the light of creation. He's the source of the light of illumination. And my friends, He's the source of the light of salvation. You remember what Paul said to the Ephesian believers? You were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children as light. You see, the state of being born again, the state of being a child of God, is described in the Bible as being in the light, in contrast to being in darkness. And of that light, the light of salvation, God is the Father. God is the source. God is the fountain. And so our God this morning is a giving God. He's a revealing God. Look at the last thing that James says in verse 17. He not only talks about the need that God meets, your need and mine, He's a giving God. He not only talks about the name that God bears, He's the Father, the source of lights. He talks about the nature that God possesses. He says, with Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at the principle here. Do you see those two words? Underline them in your Bible. With whom is no. Literally they mean, can be no. Can be no. I want you to see the difference here. James is not saying that with God there has been no variableness so far. James is not saying that God is not variable at the moment. James is saying that with God, variableness is an impossibility. A changeable, variable God is a contradiction in terms. He's not saying that God has not changed so far. He's saying that God can never change. As the first American astronaut prepared to go into space, the reporters were gathered around him. One reporter asked him the question, "What are you depending upon most on your venture?" And no doubt the reporters and the crew and the cameramen who were there were expecting the astronaut to say something about his equipment, something about the shuttle, something about the people back at the Space Center. He says, the thing I'm depending upon most is this, that God will not change His laws. God will not change His laws. A.W. Pink, the great theologian, said this, God cannot change for the better, for He's already perfect. And being perfect, He cannot change for the worse. God says with wonderful clarity this morning, I am the Lord, I change not. Now that's the principle. What flows from it? As you step, dear burdened believer, into a new week, I want to remind you that God's love will be the same. God's love will be the same. The God who has loved you with an electing love, with an everlasting love, loves you as much now as He did then. There may be times in this incoming week when, like Peter, you'll be self-confident and boastful. There may be times in this incoming week when, like Elijah, you'll be depressed. There may be times when, like Jonah, you'll be disobedient. There may be times when, like Jeremiah, you'll be ready to take the pen and resign. And yet, in spite of your failure, in spite of your defeat, in spite of your unbelief, the Lord will love you unto the end. His love no end nor measure knows, no change can turn its course. Eternally the same it flows from one eternal source. God's love will be the same. My friend, as you step into this incoming week, let me remind you that God's power will be the same. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Any prayer too hard for God to answer? Any soul too hard for God to save? Any need too great for God to meet? Any difficulty too complex for God to solve? We say this morning, with God all things are possible. With Him there is no variableness, neither shadow cast by turning. God's love will be the same. God's power will be the same. My friends, God's grace will be the same. There may be times in this incoming week when your pillow will be stained with tears. Days when, like Mary, you'll feel that your world is shattered. But bless God, in the hour of trial, sorrow, difficulty, you'll hear Him say, My grace is sufficient for thee. He's an unchanging God. That's the principle. Look at the picture here. Here's what James says. He says, with whom there is or can be no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, the picture that James brings before us here is that of the sky, the natural heavens. The sun gives light, we know that, but not always to the same degree. It's not always at the same angle. And so there's dawn, and there's high noon, and there's twilight, and there's dusk. And the sunlight changes, it varies. Sometimes there's an eclipse of the sun, and that's caused by turning. The Amplified Bible puts it like this, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by His turning, as in an eclipse. Let me underscore one word, His turning. Life may have its shadows. It most certainly has. But my friends, they're never caused by His turning. They're never caused by His changing. They're never caused by God changing position. They may be caused because you and I have changed our position. You ever stood exactly under the streetlight? And if you go and stand exactly under that streetlight, no shadow is cast. Take one step away from the streetlight, and you'll find a shadow in front of you, not a very big one, but a shadow that's caused by your turning, a shadow that's caused by your moving, a shadow that's caused by your change of position. Take a few more steps away from the streetlight, and the shadow begins to grow. It gets bigger and bigger, and go far enough away from that streetlight and you'll be in total darkness. That's the picture. There is never a shadow in your life or mine because God has turned. Because God has changed. If there are shadows this morning, it's because you and I have turned. It's because you and I have changed our position. I wonder, dear Christian friend, have you moved to step away? Have you moved to step away from being right under the light of His revealed will? If so be sure of this morning. The further you go away, the deeper and the darker the shadow will be. Turn back. Turn back now. And as you turn back, remember that with God, there is no shadow of turning. Never a shadow in my life because God has turned. Never a shadow in my life because God has changed. Never a shadow in my life because God has broken His word. Never a shadow in my life because God has not kept His promise. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Have you got a glimpse of God this morning? Our God's the giving God. Our God is the revealing God. Our God is the unchanging God. And this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Let's pray together. Father, we thank Thee this morning that we cannot comprehend Thee. Thou art beyond us, O Lord. But we thank You for reminding us this morning that You're the God of the open hand. We thank You that You're the giving God. We thank You that You're the revealing God. And we thank You that You're the unchanging God. Lord, as we step into this new week, we thank You for reminding us that Your love will be the same. Your power will be the same. Your promises will be the same. And Your grace will be the same. Help us to trust Thee for Christ's sake. Amen.